Yeah, you said a while ago.
What's she doing?
She's only in her second week. She's only been worked there 6 days. She's an executive assistant for a CEO at a software company.
Wow.
In New York.
Wow.
Yeah, she's so excited.
Cool.
So excited.
Where's the office?
It's in Soho.
How big is the company?
It's international.
It's
there's
no, probably
like 20 or 30 people in her office.
Oh, yeah, he's not.
But they're just starting up.
Oh, yeah.
It was a company that actually started in London. It's called Kurtosis. Okay, thank you. Kurtosis. OSYS. And they make all the financial documents for big.
Same conversation.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome everybody tonight. Mary, will you call the roll, please?
Braverman. Cluder.
Yes.
Alfred.
Here.
Duber.
Here.
Barron. Barron.
Here.
Klein?
Here.
Perry?
Here. May I have a motion to excuse Herb Braverman, who said he'd be out of town today?
I so move.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Thank you, Mr. Klein.
Yep.
Thank you. All those in, Mary, will you call the roll?
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, we have something fun to do, an award given to Damien Davis from HIDA. And who's here to present the award tonight?
Well, Chris will introduce it.
Thank you, Chris. I didn't know who was going to introduce.
For the newer council people, and of course, some that have been around for a while, you know, we were involved with a what's called the high intensity drug trafficking areas, and it's a funded and run through the FBI, Cleveland Police Department, and they work on drug issues all over, including in Orange Village, particularly in our hotel section when we're having a lot of trouble in the hotels. And Sergeant Davis sustained an injury a long time ago, and at that point in time, he was only able to do some light duty work, so he was over there in their deconfliction center, which was when drug units, because there'll be a drug unit, the Veg Group, and then SEAL and other ones. If they were going to hit a house, they would call deconfliction to make sure that that another group wasn't going to hit the house at the same time, or B, that there might be some confidential informants inside there or undercover officers. And this was real important for the safety of all the officers and everybody that's involved in this. Well, in the meantime, as the older council persons know, the persons have been here, we were also involved in any of the forfeitures, and that included cash, it included vehicles, and I believe HIDA even paid for two of our dogs. And of course, you know, we still have Deacon. Damien now is, Sergeant Davis is now back with us on the road at this time. But right now I'd like to introduce the director of the Ohio HIDA, and I believe, Derek, you're a retired FBI agent, right?
Yeah.
Derek Siegel. And he's now the director of the HIDA, and he would like to make a presentation to Sergeant Davis. And Mr. Siegel, tell them a little more about HIDA.
Thank you, Chief. Good evening, Council,
good evening.
Mayor. It's an honor to be here to present this to Damien, and Chief did a pretty good job of summarizing what HIDA does, High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Program. And I won't bore you with all the details, but there's 32 HIDAs around the country. And the one in Ohio encompasses 13 counties in Ohio, pretty much the large population counties, and then Scioto and Adams County down where they had the pill problems down in southeastern Ohio. And HIDA designates by county, so the whole state is not considered HIDA just because of the population, the drug problems, or lack of drug problems. But we are a national program, and we're funded out of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, which is under the White House. And we've been in existence as a program for over 20 years. The Ohio HIDA has been in existence for about 14 or 15 years, and I've been the director there for about 4.5 years. Sergeant Davis worked out at the HIDA building for about 12 years, primarily on the hotel interdiction team, as the chief alluded, with members from other departments such as Broadview Heights, Brooklyn, Independence, you know, some of the other suburbs that have hotels in their area, to help stem the drug flow and the cash flow out of the area. And they were very successful. And as you know, if you went back through, you'd see that, as Chief alluded, you had benefited from some of the forfeitures and cash seized and things. And on any given year, as a group, they might have got $4 million, and some years they might have got $1 million. It just depended on what they came across. But it was very effective, and to hit the hotels and have those relationships to look for the drugs and the money. But one of Damien's other high contributions to the program was not just his efforts as a task force member, but through the use of his dog, not only on the hotel interdiction team, but the other drug task forces around the area here. And even more so than that, if you don't know, he has a proclivity, is that a right word, for electronics and radios, and he really served as a focal point for all the 200 and some radios that HIDA has out there with different agencies and departments across the state as far as programming them and repairing them and getting them service. So he provided a service to HIDA that we didn't have without him. We're not operational and things like that. We're a grant program, and that's what I do. I run the grant and make sure the money gets spent right. And last thing about the HIDA program is I work for a board of directors, basically, which is comprised of, now it's down to 19 people. It's the heads of all the federal law enforcement agencies, the two U.S. Attorney's Office, and then 8 or 9 state and local chiefs of police, say Akron, Cleveland, Youngstown, Toledo, Columbus, some sheriff's departments. So that's who I report to, and they oversee the program, and I pretty much carry out their wishes, and hopefully I do that well, or I'll be looking for work. So, but I wanted to take this opportunity because Damien left, and he was such a vital part of it for so long. I wanted to, rather than just come by the office and give him a little plaque, I want to at least give it to him in front of some of the people here in Orange, that so they know what he does, if you don't already know, and how important he was to the HIDA program, and even the chief for supporting it for all those years. It gets harder and harder on all the smaller departments and even some of the bigger departments to give manpower to these task forces, because it takes officers out of the city. And yes, it's nice when you get money back and your officer does get some training and learns a lot of things and gets some contact, but it's still an officer that your city's missing from his daily duty. So I'd like to thank the chief also while I'm here for his support of the program over the years. So what I'd have here is a plaque for Damien. You're welcome to look at it, but it's a certificate of appreciation to Sergeant Damien Davis of the Orange Police Department, Hotel Interdiction Team, Ohio HIDA, in recognition of your outstanding achievements and significant contributions to the high-intensity drug trafficking area program. So, Damien, I want to thank you. And you're always welcome back. So. And I told him, are we off the record ever? No. I told him, I said, you're not. This is an old collector's item. It has the White House on it. We don't put the White House on there anymore.
So. That's
not by choice. So he's got a collector's item. But
thank you very much for
the support through the police department that you've given the program.
And thank you
very much
for sharing this with us. And
okay,
congratulations.
You.
We're just going to move on.
Yeah.
So we're going to skip number 5 and move on to number 6. I need a motion, please, to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of January 8th. Do I have a motion?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. How about a second first?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Yes, what are the corrections?
On the first page, under 5, 3 times written votes were taken.
3 times written, yes. I read that too, I didn't even notice.
And also on page 3, under 15, for me, it should not be no report, it should be no committee.
Okay, thank you.
Quite welcome.
Any other comments or questions to these?
I had one suggestion also on page 1, item 5. bullet in the sentence, it says a motion to close nominations and cast a ballot for so on and so forth. Seemed a little awkward to me the way it was written, and I was just going to suggest that it read, a motion to close nominations and cast a ballot for Brandon Duber, Francis Cluter, or Ken Alfred for Council President Pro Tem, made by Klein, seconded by Cluter.
Did you get that, Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
Hang on a second. What would have happened was, after the paper ballots were counted and there was a, then at that point, there was a motion to confirm. That's when it occurred. There would have been a motion, and everybody voted for him after he prevailed in the election. So that's where it should, you should have the motion shown after the three votes were taken, after he received, so.
Oh, so that needs to move down.
Because otherwise, you have him accepting a nomination for Council President. He was elected Council President ultimately, so move, move the motion down.
Underneath three times.
Yeah. Well, no.
Where?
It wasn't a motion to close the nominations. It was a motion to elect Brandon Duber Council President Pro Tem. And that vote occurred after the written ballots were taken. I think, if you check the.
Saying there was no motion made.
To close, there wasn't a motion
to close. And say
no,
the ease of the three
that
people
usually
who
happens
nominated.
When it's just unanimous, right? The cut and paste doesn't work here.
Oh, okay, so it's sort of. Gotcha, I understand what you're saying.
Mary, you got?
I got it.
Okay. All right, then, Mary, will you call the roll, please?
Cluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thank you. Next, I need a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of January 15th, 2014. Do I have a motion, please?
Motion
made.
Thank
second.
You, Mrs. Cluter. Thank you, Mr. Barron, for a second. And any changes to this that anybody notices?
Okay.
All right. Mary, will you call the roll?
Cluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, I need a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting of February 5th, 2014. Thank you, Mr. Klein.
Seconded.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. And does anybody have anything to say about
correction.
These? Yes.
Page 2, number 8. For me, I requested either a version number or a date on documents. I don't know anything about color.
Instead of color, you asked for
date.
Revision number.
On each page,
or
right.
Date. On each page. All right, any other changes?
Can I actually jump
yeah.
back? I'm sorry. On January 15th, was there a motion made, do you recall, to excuse myself and Mr. Braverman?
On
if it's
January,
a special meeting, it wouldn't have been necessary.
Would have been necessary. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Being no more comments and questions and changes, Mary, will you call the roll?
Cluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Sorry. Next. Next, we have a motion to approve the treasurer's report as of December 31st, 2013. Do I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Alford, a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Since Mr. Bloom isn't here tonight, if you look at the treasurer's report, this gives us our year-to-date summary. And some of the discussion we've had in our finance committee is that that reserve fund is always part of the general fund. We pull it out just for our own eyes, so to speak, so that you're aware that that's still very much just part of the general fund. You can see we ended the year, sorry, I'm going to butcher this, and Mr. Bloom might not say it exactly the way I would say it, but when we do our target percent for expenses and revenues, we were right on target within like 1 or 2% for the entire year for both the revenues and expenses, which was great budgeting. And some of the things, I don't know if you want me to run through, but we're right on track there. Does anybody have any questions? All right, being done, Mary, will you call the roll?
Kluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, I need a motion to approve the tax administrator's report of January 31st, 2014.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Second? Thank you, Mr. Alfred. He raised his hand, sorry. Okay. So in this, you'll see that what I always hone into first is the at the bottom line over under budget. We're $63,000 under budget for tax revenues, but as we know, and over the course of the year, these fluctuations even out. And some of our revenues in Chagrin Highlands look a little higher, and both Dave and Mitch thought that that was because there might have been 5 weeks in the month instead of four, and you know, it was a longer month in January. So these are very preliminary, and we can't really base trends yet.
Well, how might it compare to what last year at this time looked like?
Well, if you look on the
2013?
Yeah, that's comparing January to January.
Yeah, so it's relatively close, $7,000 off against last year. But we clearly budgeted for a larger number, and I think that was kind of a rateable budget number, I think.
I don't recall.
Yeah, I think we budgeted for a higher number this year.
I didn't hear what you said.
I was asking whether the tax collections budget is kind of rateable over the course of the year, or does it take into account timing issues?
The budget is a 10-year rolling average. Takes how it's been collected over 10 years and then takes that rolling average percentage.
Okay.
So it does try to take into account the peaks and valleys of the collections.
Any other questions? Mary?
Kluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, we have a discussion of the bills to be paid for January in the amount of $203,890.92, and additional expenses of $96,091.69, and February in the amount of $143,260.94, and additional expenses of, there's a little typo there, Mary, $265,999.01. So, seems like a lot of bills, but it's encompassing 2 months, right, Mayor?
Well, this lists two separate months' worth of bills. Each were a little high, but if you look at the additional January expenses, $195,000 of it was for the new ambulance.
Yep.
And $46,000 was for the lift system, which was reimbursed from a grant. So
right.
You got to look at the distribution. In addition, the February list shows 2 months' payments of dispatch services. And if you'll note, the January payment was $10,775. The February payment was $5,800. So that immediately shows the savings that we're going to realize through Nick's efforts.
Wow.
So the February actually is the...
Going forward.
Going forward with the new dispatch facility. This was the previous, was based on our past system.
Exactly.
Previous system.
Correct. And then also there was the 50% payment for the MDTs. So I think if you backed out some of those things, it would be a typical month. It also had the FOP negotiations in there. So there were some extraordinary items in this month's listing. And unfortunately, I don't have the January listing in front of me. If somebody does, I can look at it. Okay, thank you.
Are we way over in our budgeted amount for salt this year?
No. We just placed an order to get the rest of what we committed to, which is what we budgeted for.
I just actually requested 120%, which is 2,400 tons. So we've got quite a bit on order based on the pricing we're getting this year. And take advantage of it because already we're talking about inflated prices for next year.
Because
so
we can store it.
We just have to get delivery. As we
great.
Get delivery. As long as we get delivery.
It's supposed to be 50 degrees next week.
I don't know if the weather is holding it up. It's the supply is limited, right? Coming
because
out of the mines.
Because of the weather.
Like I said, last week there's all kinds of different stories. I talked to the trucking company, the salt people, other communities. Right now I'm going to say it's a shell game.
That's interesting. Thank you.
Any other questions about the bills?
All right. Then moving on. Yeah? Did you have anything? No.
Nope.
Next is audience comments relating to agenda items only. Anyone? No. Maybe next time. Moving on to old business and discussion pending litigation and motions. Legislation. Excuse me.
Litigation.
I know, I was like, what litigation? Actually, there is none. So moving on to new business. Ordinance number 2014-3, an ordinance amending subsections K and N of sections 1175.11, land planning, site development principles and criteria of the codified ordinances of Orange Village. This is on for second reading.
So that's
tonight.
Old business, but we haven't gotten it to planning and zoning yet. We will at the next meeting or so.
Okay, so we will not advance this past second reading until we hear back from planning and zoning.
Right. Yeah, we haven't had a planning and zoning meeting, so everybody.
You'll have two between now and next month.
Great.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, there's a couple things that I think.
This certainly isn't on a fast track for any reason, so
no,
I think it's fine. Next is ordinance 2014-5, an ordinance amending sections 147.15B and 147.16 of the codified ordinances of Orange Village and declaring an emergency. This is on for first reading tonight. And we have it at our spot. Mary,
yeah,
introduce
can do a little
us.
Explaining. My usual practice is to treat non-union employees the same as the union employees, and so this legislation attempts to bring into parity those items that were negotiated for the union employees for the non-union employees. The one surprise that even I had was that we've missed the longevity for a number of contracts. We haven't picked up the difference, and that's why it's such a big difference. For the police union, it only went up $25 this contract, but we had to go back to 2004 before to find when the contract was as low as what you see for the non-union employees. So that's why the change in the longevity is such a big jump, because we've missed out on a number of years of giving parity. The non-union employees that are eligible for the 5 to 10 years is 6, so that's a cost of $3,900 to bring that up. So that will make them even with the union contract that was just approved last month. The other change that was in the contract that we are making apply to the non-union employees is that in order to get the $100 incentive not taking our health insurance, you also have to decline the dental. There was a little loophole in there where you could decline the medical, take the dental, and still get the incentive. So we're closing that up as we did in the contract. And the final major change is there's a range, like we did for the premium contribution from the employees. There is now a range for deductible, for the dollar deductible. I see a mistake. It's the range that started at 0 because we're not putting that into effect till next year when the union contract goes into effect.
Okay. You want it 0 both?
Yeah.
Single,
yeah, because if this is passed next month, I'm not putting any into effect until it goes into effect for the union. But that's to allow us to apply the first dollar deductible to the non-union employees like we did for the union.
Could you explain the range? I'm a little bit confused here. If ranges from 125 to 750,
well,
meaning is it dependent on salary?
The bottom of the range is what is in the police union contract.
Okay.
The higher range is to give some flexibility to increase it without having, you know, like we have a range with the salaries too.
Okay.
So it would just be one of the dollar amounts within the range, and that's why it has to start at 0 because I wouldn't be doing this year. But everybody already is paying for the first time towards their premiums.
It's still a fabulous deal, believe it. It really is.
Well,
you know, it is.
I
mean, I know.
I would say yes, it is, but I've heard of better and worse.
Believe me, it is.
We're not the best anymore.
No, it's still great.
We're still good.
What about the deductible? Are we still going to be reimbursing?
Yes.
We're still going to be doing that?
Yes, but we could take a plan that has a lower deductible, and the employees could pay that lower deductible. But we're saving more on the premiums by self-insuring a higher deductible than if we had a lower deductible where we didn't reimburse. We'd be behind because our premiums would be so much higher.
Yeah.
So we have come out ahead in about the 8 years that we've been doing this, where we do the health reimbursement plan, which I know, you know, gets you agitated when you see it on the bills to be paid. But we're saving much more on the premiums than it's costing us in the reimbursing of the deductibles. And that's why we have a high deductible plan, and that's why we reimburse. But now the first few dollars would be employee shared when it kicks in.
Any other questions? I think.
Well, you have to amend it. Fix it.
We'll amend it, and we'll see this next month to pass. Okay.
No rush.
Okay. Next is I need a motion to authorize the mayor to declare a surplus Squad 2 Ford E-Series Road Rescue VIN 1FDLE40F9VHA58848. Built by Ford in 11 of 1996 and outfitted by Road Rescue in 6 of 1997 with a mileage of 61,500.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluder. Is there a second? Thank you. Mr. Barron, any questions or comments?
Are we going to auction?
I'm not sure what Chief Wilson plans to do with it, but...
He told me and I can't remember.
Yeah, he made mention, I think somebody's gonna list it for free.
Ooh.
We'll sell it to the highest bid.
Yeah, the motion should be to, for the administration to dispose of it in a manner it deems most effective and then report back on the sale. Because the plan is to sell it somehow.
Right. The highest.
Motion to dispose in a manner most appropriate.
Most effective?
Effective.
At its discretion.
Okay. All right. Mary, will you call the roll?
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thank you all. Next, any motion authorize the mayor to purchase a 2014 International 7,400 single axle cab and chassis to be modified with a swap loader hook lift frame not to exceed $184,246.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluder. We've talked about this and is there any questions to tonight?
Yeah, you can plow.
In the back.
In the cab.
I'll drive.
You have to climb up.
The motion should also indicate that it was, this is based on the ODOT bid, cooperative bid.
Yeah, it's in the letter that's...
Based?
Yeah, well, we gotta connect it up with the minutes. The council's aware of that and authorizing it.
Okay, so at the end we'll say, based on the ODOT cooperative bid?
Cooperative purchase approval.
Chassis ODOT cooperative and then body is state term contract for SPS program.
Okay. All right, Mary, will you call the roll?
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, we'll move on to committee reports by council members. Start with you, Mrs. Cluder.
No committee report. You were gonna talk about committees, yes or no?
Which I'd like to do tonight since we have time, but I'll wait till we get to my...
Yeah, that's fine.
Mr. Klein, committee report?
There have not been planning commission meetings since our last session, so I have no report.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Alfred?
No committee report.
Thank you. Mr. Duber?
I think everybody received a draft report of the alternative transportation plan. And I don't know if anybody has had a time to...
No, it was at our desk tonight.
Look at that in full, but take a look at it. I know myself and the mayor are more than happy to answer any questions on the pop-up, and the mayor showed me the flyer that is at the printer right now that is gonna be going out to all the residents announcing the two public meetings. And I think that's where we're at with that.
Just to refresh everybody's memory, it's 7:00 on February 26th and 6:30 on March 12th.
And these are public meetings?
Yes.
I did forget that. Can you tell me again?
Yes. On February 26th at 7:00.
Uh-huh.
And on March 12th at 6:30.
And how are we notifying the public?
You're getting a first, you're getting a flyer mailed to each house.
I assume it would also be in the email that goes out.
It'll be in the e-news and it's already on the website.
So there
as
you
is,
go.
As is the plan.
Okay, great. And on March 12th, that's a council meeting evening, so we'll welcome people to stay if they would like to stay. Sounds good. I'm sure they all want to.
I'm sure, absolutely.
Okay, great.
You know, and it was interesting, there was that article that was in the Chagrin Valley Times about the bike plan. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the end, you know, it was reading one way, and then at the end, there was a one-liner that kind of took a little bit the other way, so I don't know what to read into that, but most of it sounded positive for this, and so I think I've received some feedback so far, only positive thus far, so just, you know, a few people have contacted me that they, you know, heard about this and saw it, and it was something that, you know, I was pretty interested in, and they've contacted me, so maybe I've just heard the yays and haven't heard the nays yet, but so far, all positive.
Sounds great. Thank you. Mr. Barron?
No report because no committee.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. And that is an important committee, Mr. Barron, not to
hopefully
be
not
taken lightly. But since we do have time, I would have preferred to reserve this conversation for a work session. But since our work sessions, we've been working on the development agreement.
Are you doing audience comments?
So much. We can talk tonight about the committee reports and how we've been functioning with our committees. And just to review briefly from my perspective of being on here for quite many years, our committee system has evolved and changed a little bit over time. And when I first started, there were several committees that would meet monthly, like the safety committee headed by Mrs. Kluter, and the safety committee members came in here and there wasn't a set agenda. They talked about whatever they thought mm-hmm. might be coming up as a safety issue. And I took over that committee after a few years, and the police chief would come, and the fire chief sometimes would come. And it was a committee that sometimes had some productive things to talk about, but it's also been a role that could be filled through our police and fire department administratively. And with that, some of our committees have then changed into not meeting and actually having an active committee until there is work that was sent to a committee. So for instance, years ago, I was chair of Buildings, Grounds, and Utilities, and it seems archaic now, but the internet was still a lot newer back then, and people were thinking that they wanted to put these transponders on every telephone pole that enabled cars to have internet service, and, you know, not foreseeing the wireless technology, the phone technology that would provide this service back then. And so that was something that was sent to Buildings, Grounds, and Utilities, and Buildings, Grounds, and Utilities actually studied this topic for many months and came up with a recommendation to allow it because it didn't do any harm in the community, and as it turns out, that technology failed anyway, so that company didn't need to put these little boxes on all the telephone poles. So that's an example, though, of how the committee functioned when work was sent to the committee to study, and then information was brought back here in what was gleaned from researching it over a period of time. The way I've been seeing our council function, though, is that a lot of times our professionals are paid to do a lot of the research for us. It's less and less is being counted on by opinions of people in the neighborhood who are very well-meaning and come here to discuss a topic and then provide a recommendation to this committee. And it was only a recommendation. It held no weight, although planning and zoning is a committee that does hold a little bit more weight. They still recommend, but they have more expertise.
Committee.
It's a, excuse me?
It's required by the charter.
It's required by the charter, and, but it's also just a recommending body. But they're a very high-functioning committee that has a distinct purpose, it seems. So I want to hear your opinions on, you know, we could go back to the committees where it's great to have people in the community involved. There's pros that way. But I don't know, like, if there's not a specific topic to have a discussion on, like, what's going to come of that, like, how people will value being on those kind of committees. So what do you all think?
If I may, I think that the committee system has probably changed over time, and maybe in a good way. With our, you know, I guess the community outreach in terms of showing up at council meetings and whatnot, I don't know if the interest is there necessarily to have full committee meetings. And I mean, we're a smaller village. I just don't know if it's necessary. You know, things that might make sense are, you know, maybe there's a safety committee meeting, you know, a more public, publicized, you know, committee meeting twice a year or quarterly, you know, where, you know, residents of the community really know about it, and it's a chance to talk to the police, talk to the fire, and really have an opportunity to sit down and maybe make that type of venue. But aside, you know, having a monthly safety meeting, I just don't know if it really makes sense. If people have ideas, suggestions, or whatnot, they can always come to whoever on council. It could be brought to whoever is, you know, I guess, chair of the safety committee. And I'm just using safety as an example. And then I think it's good to have discussion with everybody on council as opposed to, you know, one or two council members and some representative of the community. So my own opinion is, I think that this probably functions in a better manner than, you know, having more formalized committee meetings. And, you know, maybe it's also time that we, you know, reassess what the committees are. You know, maybe there's something more of a, you know, community outreach or technology or community involvement type committee, you know, something of that sort, where there might be a little more interest than some of the other committees that we have. Just a thought.
Good. Thank you for your thoughts. Anybody else have thoughts? Mr. Barron?
Is the community garden, is there a committee that?
No, we manage it administratively. And there is a garden committee made up of the people that have plots there.
But it's more of a meeting,
it's more of like a social recreational.
This is, yeah, these are our
planting ideas.
Our
these are
rules,
my tomatoes, I'll share
some. Planting ideas. You know, it's more of a just a informal
garden club.
Yeah,
garden club.
That's a good way to describe it. Mr. Barron?
You know, as I look out into the abyss of the audience, I see very little participation in what we do. And the truth is that I'm pretty proud of what we do and what we accomplish, and I would like the whole house full. But I think that if you open up committees to citizens, at the very least, you will have no less people on the committee, and the possibility of more people. And then again, that also gives you the ability to say, we have this committee, it's open, or you could have requested entry, and you chose not to, but we would be glad to listen to you. So I think if you want to get people involved in local government, you have to give them something they can get involved in.
You know, there is a, on the agenda every week, you know, that we're here, there's an opportunity for, you know, members of the community to speak about whatever topic it is. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just, you know, there's the realistic side of me saying that I really would be surprised if anybody else shows up, and maybe we give it a whirl. But I just, realistically speaking, I would be shocked if anybody shows up. I mean, I think if anybody has an interest, they will, you know, first call one of the council members or the mayor if something, you know, piques their interest that they have a concern about. And obviously there's always the venue at the council meetings they can speak, but I am more than happy to go with whatever route the council decides.
Well, I think that if we send something out in the newsletter or the e-newsletter asking for volunteers, whether or not anyone volunteers, it looks like an open situation.
The last time you did a council interview and we had 12 candidates, there were quite a few I contacted afterwards because they said they wanted to stay involved. There was one person came in, I did a complete tour, gave her, you know, the area of her interest, and...
I think it was because they were still in that, maybe I'm running for council phase and I want to play a part, potentially.
I put in the newsletter a lot.
Hopefully not, but...
So are you doing committees to get people to be involved or doing committees to do some work?
And I have also heard criticism from committee members in Buildings, Grounds, and Utilities, for which I've been chair for a long time. It's like, why don't we ever meet? And my response to them is kind of like, well, we don't have any work to do. And I think that can be very frustrating to the committee. So here, for example, if I use Buildings, Grounds, and Utilities, if we have people sign up for that and you never meet in the year because there's really nothing to discuss, or let's say you call a meeting quarterly just to keep your members, if there's nothing on the agenda, what are you going to talk about? And if you're just putting stuff like updates up, I'm not sure that there are a few people I know in this community who would probably still love to come to that, but most of people I think have more important things to do at home and such. And I totally agree with you. I wish more people were involved. I'm always encouraging people to call, write, email, come to meetings. I think we try our best, all of us, to make ourselves accessible. I'm not sure committees is the best way, except for there are some committees like Planning and Zoning and, for instance, Charter Review Commission, when we do that every
eight
years or so. You know, that's a hard-working committee. There's a lot of work to be done, and people put in a lot of time, and it has a start time and an end time, and that's a working committee.
Well, that's a task force assigned to
right.
do a particular job. I think that, you know, committees are agenda and issue-driven entities, and if we don't identify issues that we ought to be working at, there probably isn't a good reason to have a committee, just to have a committee. But I think what we ought to be addressing are, what are the issues that we face now and in the future? You know, we had this quasi-committee that came up relative to the merger and shared services study. I'm not sure that's a dead horse altogether. I think there ought to be some ongoing thinking in that regard, because something may bubble up to the surface that we haven't considered. One of the things that came up in the candidate interview night that was an interesting comment and we haven't really addressed in any way, specifically, is diversity and inclusion. And how might we as a community go about making change and creating opportunity and becoming more diverse in our government? And I mean, that I'm not saying these are just some things that occur to me that we ought to be giving some thought to what Brandon is doing over here with the trails is about community connectivity. And there are many more ways to connect the community than just a series of bike paths and trails. We, in his report, is just kind of thumbing through it, he's identified a number of nodes and entities that we want to connect to within the community. But we also want to have the opportunity to dialogue with one another, to encounter our neighbors by happenstance. And I think we can go beyond that and tie
say that that's sort of an administrative committee that I'm trying to get together versus a council committee, though I welcome every single person on here to be part of it and helpful on it. I have put out a few feelers in the last newsletter. I asked anyone who's interested to participate to contact me. So it might just be something where the work will be done by the usual people.
Another area we have.
If I may just jump on what you just said, sorry to interrupt, but you know what I was talking about maybe changing up some of the committees is maybe we change it around a little bit, a Parks and Recreation Committee kind of thing. Just a.
I have a question for the Lord Director.
Sounds like a TV show.
I know.
It when it talks about committees, it talks about the council planning, I believe in the charter will choose the committee. If we change it, if we're going to make it committee as a whole, if that's the feeling that this council wants, do we have to amend that?
No.
That language? No?
No. The committee structure is set up in the charter, but there's no requirement.
Requirement for charter review and for planning and zoning.
Yeah, in finance, probably.
No, there's not.
Look under council president.
Yeah, no, that's where it is.
Okay.
The it's under the council president's powers,
okay.
And among those, appoint the various committees of council coordinating the work of the committees.
Yeah.
Each committee shall be chaired by a member of council.
Right.
And then the president may appoint any village resident of voting age to any committee of council subject. So there are no committees of council mandated. There's a process in place. If you're going to have committees, that's how you do it.
But if we don't, do we need to write it in, or if we don't, we just leave it alone? Okay. So then the other question is for the mayor. Do I understand then if we no longer have council committees, we'll be having the professionals, it was sort of apropos safety, the police and the fire with administration? Did I get that right? That the administration and then the police and fire will be the involved people?
Well, I don't know. In the last couple of months, you've approved a few things that are safety related, and it was done as a committee as a whole. I would think if there was an issue that needed more in-depth coverage,
but when I was
Lisa
doing kids
would,
safety,
would assign
everything
it.
Send it to safety. It was like every 3 months. We didn't meet monthly. We met every 3 months, and
yeah.
We did have an
agenda.
So
if there was something that needed.
Yeah, well, it's. I think I'll go with whichever way the council wants it to go. I do agree that I think if we can sort of reaffirm residents' involvement, that is a healthy thing. And talking to other members of other cities, at a NOCA meeting last week, many of the cities do have committees. You know, not necessarily committees as a whole. They do have active committees. So this is a subjective thing.
They also have, you know, people who show up at the meetings too, a lot of the communities.
Well, apropos that, why, you know, I've brought this up before. In the name of transparency, then why don't we televise our meetings? If we're not going to have.
We don't have the equipment to do that, for instance.
Are we going to do it?
No.
No, that's expensive.
No.
How expensive can it be if you could do it through the school?
Our village is what? How many miles long and wide? It's not that far to get to Village Hall.
I wonder how many people listen to the podcast.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out. Did we ever find out how expensive it would be to do it?
Well, I know the one time we had the opportunity, we gave that equipment to the school. So I don't know. What if it's $100,000 to have an audio visual setup? I don't really know.
Could we piggyback on the school? I don't know. If we want to?
I don't want to enough to exert a lot of energy investigating
that?
It at this moment in time.
Oh.
I mean,
because we've got lots of issues coming up.
Huh?
And if we're not
going
to have.
We're working on getting a good sound system.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
I think
a good
I had,
thing.
I had at one point asked about the podcasts on through the website were not.
They're
up.
There. They're just horrible to listen to.
Doesn't
well, it was
up.
Almost impossible. I mean, I tried it a couple of times in the fall, and there was nothing.
We're
going
to work
nothing.
On a new sound system to
yeah.
begin with.
Is that enough?
Well, Nick is now back from the dispatch, and we'll get it on the radar screen soon.